Good morning. It is good to see everyone that is able to be out this morning, and we're thankful for your presence, and we appreciate you coming out and spending time with us as we study from the Word of God. As has been mentioned, our gospel meeting with Brother Jared Currents begins next week. I hope that everyone is looking forward to the meeting and has prepared themselves that they can be present for the meeting, that we've been using the invitations in the back to invite our friends, our neighbors, our relatives, our co-workers to the meeting. As we're going to talk in our lesson this morning, the success of this meeting is dependent on us, really. You know, a lot of people go, well, a meeting is good if the preacher's good. Well, no, if we don't get anybody here, even if the preacher isn't any good, then the meeting is a failure. You know, it doesn't really depend on how well the preacher is a speaker. Now, some of it does play on that, but, you know, if we don't bring anyone to hear the gospel, it doesn't matter how well it's preached or not, if no one's there to hear it. So we need to make sure that we're doing all that we can. And we need to realize our full responsibility. And so I want to just take our time this morning and remind us possibly of some things that we need to be about, some things that we need to focus on as we prepare for the gospel meeting. The first thing we need to understand is the purpose of a gospel meeting. This seems to have been lost because we just think a gospel meeting is just something that, well, a congregation has to do. In some places, thankfully, that doesn't seem to be the case here, but in some places it's just, well, we've always had a gospel meeting, and that's just what we're supposed to do this time of year, and so it's time for the gospel meeting. And we plan, a lot of congregations just plan a gospel meeting because of that. There's no purpose behind it. But, you know, there's a reason behind a gospel meeting. There's a reason why many people in the world call them revivals, because they're there to revive us. They're there to bring us back to full service. And the purpose for a gospel meeting, as far as the local church is concerned, it's got two purposes. The first one is the purpose of evangelism. One of the greatest desires that we are to have as children of God is to bring the gospel to those that are lost and dying in this world. And when we look at those that we have of our friends that are members of other denominations, or you know, they just don't want to come to church on a Sunday, it can be somewhat easier to get them to come to church on a Monday night, a Tuesday night, a Thursday night, Friday night, maybe a Wednesday night, to get them to come for a special occasion. And one of the things we need to keep in mind is they're going to be watching to see how excited you are for the gospel meeting. If someone came up to you and said, you know, there's this new movie out, and I'm thinking about going. I'm not real sure if I'm going to go or not. I think I'm going to go. You want to go with me? Are they going to think that the movie's any good? They're going to go, well, you know, you don't seem too excited about it, so I'm not going to waste my money and time in going. And so when we're talking with our friends and everyone, we need to make sure that we're excited about the meeting, because we want them to have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you would, in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 1, let's begin reading there in verse 14. As Paul was stating how his obligations were unto the people of the world, we need to understand that we have that same obligation. In Romans chapter 1, there beginning in verse 14, he says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Now think about that, and Paul, and what Paul is sending forth, and that's really the way that we should have about our gospel meeting. But it's like, I remember when I first started preaching, and I was living down in Louisiana, and we invited all the young people to go and to walk with us, to go house to house knocking on the door. And I remember how I was when I was younger, and so I was very patient with these young people, because you go up and you knock on the door, and you've never done this before in your life, and you're like, all right, we'd like for you to come to our gospel meeting. And I'm standing there, I know what they're saying, and I can barely hear them. But you know what? It's not just teenagers that are doing that for their first time. We're that way with our friends. We're having a gospel meeting. We're almost ashamed of it, aren't we? You know, we'd like for you to come. Do we really have the attitude that Paul is setting forth here? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. That's the way we should be looking at it. This is going to be an opportunity for them to hear a life-saving lesson. Let's say someone discovered a cure for diabetes. A lot of people are suffering from diabetes, and it can be a very debilitating disease. Cancer, AIDS, any of these things. You go across the board. You find there's a cure. What are we going to do? We're going to scream it from the rooftops. They found a cure for the disease that's affecting you. For me, maybe we found a cure for hair loss. Ken and I are going to run down and Dan, we're going to find out what that cure is. And we're going to tell everybody. I'm going to tell my brothers, look, they found a cure for baldness, and you just rub this on your head and you get your thick, lustrous hair again. It's ridiculous how excited we get over vain things, right? And yet we have the opportunity to tell people who are in a dead condition. They're dead to the Lord. They're dead in their sins. The Lord is going to require their life for the way that they're living. And Paul says we've got to be doing what we can. So we read in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If they don't hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, they can't even begin to have that faith that is necessary for salvation. And so one of the primary purposes of a gospel meeting is for evangelism. But it's becoming more and more difficult to get everybody to come, isn't it? You know, it used to be you could just tell somebody, we're having a gospel meeting, we'd like you to come. And they're like, okay, we'll go. And it used to be that gospel meetings would just have people pouring in. I've heard stories, I've not been fortunate enough to actually see this in action, of having to bring chairs out and just, you know, fill the space. And it'd be nice if we had to clean out these two rooms and put some benches in there or chairs and just fill this audience with people of the lost. But, you know, that's just not the case anymore. It's hard. Even when you're excited about things, it's hard to get others to think about their soul's condition. And so another primary purpose of a gospel meeting is edification. You know, one of the primary works of the local church is edifying the Christians. The charge that the Apostle Paul gave to the elders of the church in Ephesus, the charge that he gave in each of his letters to the various churches, was to edify one another, to be built up, to encourage one another. And so a gospel meeting can be an opportunity for us to be edified. If you've noted in the topics for the lessons that Jared has prepared, some of those are focused primarily on Christians. There are some that are focused in evangelistic type ideas, but some are focused primarily to us so that we can be edified, we can be built up. In Hebrews chapter 10, there in verse 24, the author of Hebrews says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Let's consider how to encourage one another, how to spark a greater desire to love and good deeds. And how does he say to do this? By not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now you just stop and think about that for just a moment. You know, some, they look to a gospel meeting like, oh, this is going to be a long week. And others, they look forward to a gospel meeting and they get to the end, it's just too short. Why is that? Because some look at it as a burden, and others look at it as a chance to be edified, to be encouraged. Some are fired up during a gospel meeting. In Revelation chapter 2, the church there in Ephesus was warned that they had lost their first love, that they were needed to repent and do the deeds that they did at first, to remember from where they had fallen. And maybe we're going through our life and we're going through the paces and we're attending church and we're praying every once in a while, but we don't realize that we've lost our first love. And so this is a chance for us to be renewed. This is a chance for us to remove any lukewarmness. As we read over in Revelation 3, the church there in Laodicea, they were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. And maybe we will find that we're not as fervent in our love for the Lord as we should be. And so let's keep in mind the purpose of the meeting. The purpose is twofold. Evangelism, that is, it's for the people in the world, and edification, it's for us as well. It's not just to get the lost in the door, but we need to hear these lessons as well. And you know, every meeting is a failure or a success on one point. Preparation. You know, if the preacher is unprepared, then it's not going to be as successful as it could be. Even if we fill the doors and the preacher is not very prepared, it's not going to be as successful as it could be. But the preacher can be as prepared as he can be. And I believe Jared has been putting forth a great amount of effort preparing himself so that he's ready for this meeting. And I believe he's looking forward to this meeting and he's preparing himself. And so there's also preparation on our part. We need to be prepared for the meeting. We need to be prepared to attend every service. We need to be prepared to be not just here, but to be here, to be present. You know, it's not just, okay, I'm here, go start preaching. You know, it's a long day at work. I'm tired. So what? It's a long day at work and you're willing to sit up and watch that television program. Although I will admit a lot of people are like my father and they turn on the TV and instantly they're out. But we need to be here, present, ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember Cornelius? Do you remember Cornelius there when Peter came into his house and he said, "We are all here and we're eager to receive the words that you've got to give us." That should be our attitude when we walk through the door Sunday, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And there should be a little bit of sadness of, "Man, I don't get to go to church today." But we should come and be eager, ready to hear the Word of God. We've got to be prepared to exhort our brothers and sisters in Christ. To encourage those that are weak. To encourage those that are not members. We need to be a good example to them. Preparation is required of us all. Some go, well, the local preacher, he takes care of the announcements and he sends them out to the area congregation, so that's done. And, you know, I've handed out a few meeting announcements. That's done. I've done all that my... No, that's not all the prep work you need to be doing. There's so much more. Preparation means resolving, if you have not already been praying, pray for the meeting. And don't just, when you stop to pray this afternoon, pray for the meeting and go, "Okay, preacher, I prayed for the meeting." No. When Jesus presents the parable of the woman who annoyed the judge, who kept petitioning the judge, did she just go, "Okay, I talked to the judge about this and I want this to happen"? No, He presents it as she repeatedly went before Him, "Fix this, fix this, fix this, fix this, fix this, fix this." And that was when the judge finally said, "Okay, I'll grant your wishes." And, you know, that's the attitude we need to have, is we are continually petitioning God in prayer for this meeting. That we devote ourselves in prayer to this meeting. That we constantly pray to God for the success of this meeting. Not only do we need to be present and not only do we need to understand the purpose, but we need to be sure that we're inviting. You just can't do enough. Invite, invite, invite. There's no time to stop inviting. Like I said, the time to quit inviting is when you walk through the door Friday night of the meeting. That's when you've run out of time to stop inviting. Up until that point, it's still not too late to call your friend and say, "Look, this is the last night of the gospel meeting. You told me you try to make it. Well, this is your last chance. It's going to be over." And you know what? Even then, it's truly not over, is it? Because Lord willing, everything's going to be on the internet. Lord willing, everything's going to be on CD. And we can go, "Look, you said you'd try to make it, and I understand things get in the way, and you couldn't make it. I want to invite you to listen to the lessons." And put a copy in their hands. But we've got to be inviting people. Who should we invite? Well, we talked about that the purpose of a gospel meeting is for evangelism. So we need to be inviting the lost, don't we? We need to be inviting those that are wandering through this world, wondering, what's the point in life? Those who are jumping from denomination to denomination, trying to find the one that fits. Say, "Look, give us a shot. Listen to the gospel that's being preached. We're going to go to the Word of God. And that's all we're going to go to. Come and listen to that." We need to be inviting. Well, I've invited them, and I've invited them, and will invite them again. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you be annoying to your friends, neighbors, and relatives, because that's going to turn them off. But I'm saying you've invited them to a gospel meeting before and they didn't come. And you invited them again the next time and they didn't come. And you invited them again and they didn't come. I can tell you, here in this local congregation, I've had members say, "I've invited this person over and over and over." And lo and behold, they finally showed up after about four or five gospel meetings. They finally showed up. So just keep inviting. Remind them, those that have said, well, I might come. Remind them. You know, I sent out invitations on Facebook. You know, and anyone who's on Facebook can easily go and send out invitations to everybody on your friends list. It's the easiest way. And I told him, I said, these things are, I know a lot of my friends don't live anywhere around here, but these things are going to be available online and you can listen. We've got several have said, I'm planning on listening online. Just remind me when the meeting's coming up. And maybe our friends need a reminder. We need to invite. Continue to invite. But you know, it's not just for those that are lost. Once again, another purpose of the gospel meeting is edification. And so we need to be talking to each other, don't we? You going to be able to make it? You going to be here? We're looking forward to getting to see you all week. Or maybe some of our other brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, it used to be in congregations that you'd have just a ton of other congregations show up. How many was it? 20-some-odd congregations. We were down at Elk Fort for their meeting, and they send out a letter, talking about all the different families and congregations. They had over 20. Of course, they live in an area where there's a bunch of them close by, and unfortunately, we're a little spread out. And like we've talked before, you know, if you don't go to other congregations' gospel meeting, why in the world are they going to come to yours? If you don't show interest in their work, they're not going to show interest in yours. And so we need to be encouraging our brethren to encourage us, that we give them the opportunity to come and to hear the gospel as well. We need to be doing what we can. Invite one another. Continue to invite them. Continue to offer the invitation. Once again, don't be annoying, but speak of your excitement. Just go, you don't even have to invite me. You just, man, I'm just really looking forward to this gospel meeting that we got coming up. You remember that meeting I told you about? It's coming up next week. And I'm really looking forward. You going to be able to make it? And continue to speak of your excitement. And that's the problem. Too many people are not excited about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? That's a pretty good sign. We better be here if our excitement is waning. And so let's be inviting the lost. Let's invite one another. There are plenty to invite. Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 35, He says, look on the fields, they are white for the harvest. And we can look at the world and we can see that there are many in the world that are lost, that are dying. The harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. But let's look at two more things before we close the lesson this morning. I've talked about this a little bit, but it really cannot be emphasized enough. And that's the need for your attendance. What good, I've said it before and I'll say it again, what good does it do for you to invite your neighbors, your relatives, your friends, your co-workers, and then they come in and they go, where's so-and-so? And he's not here tonight. She's not here tonight. Well, they invited me to come. What did you just tell them? You've been trying to act excited. You've been trying to tell them about how wonderful it is to hear the gospel. You finally convince them. They walk through the door and they see you don't even care. Guess what? Every word you've ever said to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ is gone. Unless you can give them, like, my wife was sick and in the hospital and dying, or my kids were dying, you've pretty much told them, gospel of Jesus Christ, not that important. Not that big of a deal. Our attendance is important. Have you ever noticed how the attendance during the gospel meeting is almost always less than the attendance on Sunday morning? And we have visitors to a gospel meeting. Even sometimes you'll have 10, 15, 20 visitors to a gospel meeting, and you count up the number, and it's oftentimes still less than the attendance on Sunday morning. What does that signify? When we got 10 members, when we have 10 visitors, what does that tell us? If we're less than Sunday morning, that means we got 10 members that think this gospel meeting is not very important. And when we have those visitors and they see that certain people aren't here, it's going to tell them the gospel is not important. Your presence is necessary. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let's begin reading there in verse 12. as the Apostle Paul is speaking, and as we're going to be getting into our lesson Wednesday evening, during his third missionary journey, he's gone through and he's encouraged the brethren. He spent time in Ephesus. He's encouraged the brethren in Galatia. He spent time in Ephesus, and now he's traveling up through Macedonia on his way to Corinth. He's already sent one letter to the church in Corinth, and while he's traveling through Macedonia, he's writing this letter. And he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's begin reading there in verse 12. It says, "Now when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord, I had no rest for my spirit, not finding Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went on to Macedonia." Now look at what Paul is saying there, and look at the effect of one missing brother had on him. He comes to Troas. He says there was an open door. What does that signify? When we read in the Scriptures, what does an open door signify? It means that there was a great opportunity to preach the gospel. And so Paul is a preacher of the gospel. He's an apostle. And here's a great opportunity to preach the gospel, but Paul is so concerned and he's so dispirited because Titus isn't there that he just continues on his journey. And you know what? We're going to have men who are going to sign up to lead singing. And they're going to get up there and they're going to stand before the congregation. They're going to look out and they're going to know who's missing. And it's going to be disheartening. I know. I speak from experience. Jared has visited with us numerous times. He knows a number of the congregation. He's going to get up here and he's... Where's so-and-so? Your attendance is the utmost importance. And if you have not already made plans to be present every night of the meeting, then the opportunity begins now to begin to make plans. Members can make the difference. Go back to Numbers chapter 32. As the Israelites were there, and you had the half-tribe of Manasseh and Reuben and Gad, and they were over there on the eastern shore of the Jordan, and they were like, "Look, we want to receive an inheritance over here." And Moses says, "Look, if you go over here and you start building your homes and your brethren go to war and you don't go with them, you're going to hurt their feelings. You're going to dishearten them. They're going to quit. Should your brethren go to war," he says there in verse 6, "while you yourselves sit here, now why are you discouraging the sons of Israel?" You are a discouragement to the local congregation when you fail to attend the gospel meeting. You're a discouragement to the brother or sister that sits near you, sits behind you, sits in front of you, when they see that the gospel is not important enough in your life. Members can make the difference. And we need to understand that there's no excuse. None. There's no excuse for missing a gospel meeting. And oftentimes we give the excuses to the wrong person. We call the preacher and say, "Look, here's why I can't be here." And it's an excuse. Now we need to understand there's a difference between an excuse and a reason. A reason for missing is valid. An excuse is lame. And too many times you receive excuses. "Well, I was tired." Really? Now let's pause for a second. Jesus had been up all night praying in the garden, hadn't he? He had been enduring taunts and just ridicule for 3 years. He had spent no home to call his own, wandering. He had been up all night praying, and then he was on trial from morning until evening. And then he had to carry the cross. What if Jesus had said, "God, I'm tired. I don't want to do this." Really, you're going to use "I'm tired" as an excuse? "Well, I had this scheduling conflict." Well, just imagine you get to heaven and the day of judgment and you're judged for your deeds, whether they be good or bad, and God goes, "You had a scheduling conflict and you considered this particular item over here, this non-pertinent thing, this non-important thing was more important than the preaching of the gospel." Well, you just didn't think heaven was important enough. You don't get to come in. Folks, we need to think about these things. Don't worry about the excuses. And you find the reason to be present. You go back to Luke chapter 14, and we won't take the time to read it all, but there in the parable of the dinner, Jesus says that a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many, and they began to give excuses. I've bought a piece of land, and I want to go check it out. I've bought some oxen, I need to check them. I just got married. They began to give every excuse in the book that they could find. Moses is another example of giving excuses, and each time God said, that's not good enough. There is no excuse to not attend. And don't give your excuses to me. You tell it to your brethren. You tell them your excuse for not being here. Don't call me and say, can you excuse me? Because I don't have that kind of power. People misunderstand the preacher and think he's a priest in the Catholic Church and that he can absolve someone of their sins. No, that's not the case. I can preach the gospel and I can't do anything beyond that. I have no power. The power is in the gospel, the Word of God. Not in me. I can't pray to God for your forgiveness for what you've done. You tell it to your brethren. You tell it to the visitors. You tell it to Jesus Christ. Your reason why you couldn't be there. And then finally, just real quick. I've stressed being here. But like I said, don't just be present. Be here. Participate in the worship services. Make sure that when you come, you're ready to worship God in singing songs of praise. Sing like your soul depends on it. We're told in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 to let the Word of Christ richly dwell within us. And then in that very same verse, He says, sing. In other words, the Word of Christ dwells in us so much that we're teaching and admonishing one another in these psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing. Sing with all of your heart. Sing with every part that you can. Don't just mumble the words. Sing them as if they were important to your life. Sing as if you were truly joyful to the Lord. I'm afraid many, we understand joy in this world, don't we? We understand the joy that we have in our children. And we'll talk about that in excited terms about our kids and what they're doing. And we have joy in our married lives and so many things. We get a raise at work or we get a promotion and we're joyful about that. And we talk loud and excited. We don't mumble, I got a promotion. Is that how someone talks about getting a promotion at work? We're having a baby. Really? But that's the way, oh Lord my God, how great Thou art. That's the way we sing. Is that singing joyfully to the Lord? Is that truly participating in the worship service? I understand that the important thing is our heart. And our heart's got to be in it. But you know what? If your heart's in it, then it's going to come through in singing. And you know, there are people in this congregation, I can hear them from the back row. And there are others that, no matter where you sit, you just can't hear them. And you just wonder, are they really here or are they just here? Participate in the offering of prayer. Make sure that you say a hearty amen. If you agree with the prayers, let it be known. Participate. Follow along in the lesson. Take notes. If you agree with what's being said, say amen. Let him know that you appreciate what he's saying. There's nothing more disheartening for a preacher to preach a lesson and everybody's just sitting there. That's not even joyful for the preacher to stand there and do, is it? And yet y'all just got a little taste of what a preacher gets the majority of his life. Or a lot of times it's more like this. They find some spot on the wall off to the side because the preacher's not even that attractive and therefore they don't even want to look at him. Pay attention. Be present. Participate. Show up early. You know, there's nothing more disheartening to the local preacher or the other Christians than for people to just rush in at the last minute and rush out as soon as the final amen is given. And you know what? The same thing is there for the visitors. If they're there and they show up early, you know, we start at 7:30, and they show up at 7:15, 7:20, and they look around, there's only one or two people here. It is tonight. We do have the time right, right? Make sure that the preacher and a couple other members are not the only ones that say, it's good to have you with us. We appreciate you being here. You know, I've had the wonderful experience of attending a lot of different congregations, and I get a pretty good read on a congregation by how I'm made to feel when I walk through the door. And I'm not talking about me as a visiting preacher. I'm talking about just traveling through and you stop off at a congregation and you walk in and I don't go in and sit down. I stand at the back. I don't care where we are. I stand at the back. In other places you walk in, hi, nice to have you here. We're glad that you're here with us. Where are you from? Are you a member of the church? Sometimes you're reluctant to say, well, I'm a preacher, because you never know if they're going to, hey, you want to preach for us today? We like having a visiting preacher. Sometimes you're like, oh, this was my break. But, you know, there's nothing better than when the entire congregation, and I've had congregations of 300 individuals, come up and say, it was good to have you here. And I guarantee you, I shook hands with everyone except for the infants, and even they gave me a few googly eyes. Every member that's present needs to thank the visitors. It's good to have you. Get outside of your comfort zone. I know some people aren't good about walking up to people and saying this, but just stop and go, I don't care. It's good to have you here. I'm glad that you're here. Thank you for coming. That is going to make the biggest difference. People expect the preacher to say, we're glad to have you here. People expect the elders or some of the leading men to say, we're glad to have you here. People don't expect the teenagers to walk up and say, man, it's good to have you here. Appreciate you coming out and being with us. People don't expect the little old ladies to walk up and go, we're so glad to have you here. People don't expect these things, but it has a great effect on them. So let's make sure that we're doing all that we can to participate. And then don't rush out. I know it's late. I know you got to get up and go to work the next morning. But don't rush out. Because some visitors want to be talked to. They want to continue to be encouraged. And that's your opportunity to say, well, I hope you can come back. I tell you what, when I go and attend a congregation and attend a gospel meeting and no one speaks to me and no one asks me to come back, unless the preacher gave a really, really good lesson, I'm probably not going to come back and visit. If there's another gospel meeting in there, I'm going to go there. But when a congregation says, shows me how excited they are to have me there and how excited they would be to have me back, well, I'm much more inclined to attend again. So let's make sure that we set forth a true, warm congregation and not just fake it. We got to mean it, folks. And that's every person who walks through the door. Black, white, red, yellow, doesn't matter. Male, female, high class, low class, it doesn't matter. Anybody who walks through that door should receive the love of Christ flowing through us. No matter what kind of a person they are, we should have a love for their soul and a desire for them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I've said before, and I'll close the lesson with this, the most important thing that we can be doing now, next to inviting our friends and neighbors and preparing to be here, is to be praying for the success of the meeting. We need to do everything that we can as if it depends on us and pray as if it depends on God. Pray to God that open hearts will come to hear the gospel. Pray that Jared will have a good understanding of what he's prepared to talk, that he'll be able to present it in a manner that's well-pleasing to God and easy to understand for us. For those that are here, pray that they'll have the opportunity to learn the truth of God. That those that are in sin will put away their sin and obey the gospel. Or those that have fallen away will return. Pray. Pray that you'll have the strength to attend every night of the meeting. Pray that you'll have the heart to attend every night of the meeting. And there's no point in not starting as soon as possible. If you've not invited anyone to the gospel meeting, then, buddy, you better get started. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this meeting depends on us.
Don't go, well, I know Sister so-and-so. She's good about sending out invitations. I'll let her do it. Don't go, well, I know there are a few people that they've invited several people, so it won't really matter if I don't. Your invitation might be the one that someone's waiting for. The invitations are back there. If we run out, we can print up more. We just got to get some more cardstock, and we can print up more. I can have them ready within about 15, 20 minutes after services if we run out. Let's make sure that we're doing what we can to present the opportunity to hear the gospel. But, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't offer the invitation this morning. This lesson has been primarily presented to you in an encouragement for our gospel meeting. But there are those in our number who have never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, who perhaps are reaching an age where they need to seriously be considering their soul's destination. We would be remiss if we did not give you the opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that He came to this earth, He died, was buried, and arose, never to see death again. If you believe that His death was there for your sins, that His blood was shed, that your sins could be forgiven, then come forward, confess your belief, repent of your sins, be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away, become a child of God. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen away. Then today is your opportunity. Today is your time. As we're about to sing, surrender all to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.